It is my great pleasure today to welcome Father Tua Vong to St. Matthew's. He was a recent graduate of Virginia Theological Seminary in Alexandria, recently ordained, and the first Hmong Episcopal priest in the U.S., and I believe in the Anglican Communion.
Yes.
The other day I received an email from him, and he mentioned that he had been up late translating the Book of Common Prayer into Hmong. It is almost finished, and so very exciting. And he has received just a compelling, exciting vision from God about sharing the gospel and forming Episcopal communities with Hmong men, women, and children in the U.S., and using his home congregation, Holy Apostles in St. Paul, as his home base. And so I just want to welcome you and say how glad we are to have you here today.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you, Reverend Blair, for inviting me to share with you the good news, and also part of my vision of mission. When Jesus was transfigured on the mountain, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes were dazzling white. Jesus entered into some glorious thing, the glory that was to come. Peter, James, and John saw Moses and Elijah were talking with Jesus, and they were terrified and fell down to the ground when they heard God speaking to them. But Jesus came and touched them and said, "Get up, do not be afraid." When Moses and Elijah were talking to Jesus, they might perhaps lay out a plan for him. Perhaps they might told Jesus what he must do in order to receive the glory. But maybe not, because earlier in Matthew, Jesus revealed to his disciples that he must be arrested, beaten, and killed, and on the third day be raised up. Perhaps Moses and Elijah were offering encouragement to Jesus for the hard and difficult road ahead of him. Jesus knew God's path, what has to take place. We can only imagine what was going through Jesus' mind. Do I have any other option? It is really what I must go through. At the moment, Jesus had a taste of the glory, the future glory, which was the reward at the end. If Jesus was to follow God's path, then it meant going to the cross, going to the place called the Golgotha, the place of the skull outside of Jerusalem. But this was not the only option that was given to Jesus. Remember earlier in Matthew, Jesus was tempted by Satan that he would be given all the power and glory if he would just worship Satan. Jesus had a choice, the easy path or the difficult path of God. Jesus was fully human and fully God. He could take the easy path or the path of God, which was not easy. Jesus could have said, "I cannot do it. It's too much, too powerful, too painful." But the love that Jesus had for us, for the world, trumpeted the difficulty of the path of God which went through Calvary. Jesus had a choice, but he chose us. He chose the cross, not for himself or his own glory, but for us, so that we can share in, we could share in His glory. God so loved us so much that He sent His Son. And the Son loved us so much that He chose the cross. This is the kind of love that breaks the heart of stone. The kind of love that transforms. Brothers and sisters in Christ, feel this love that flows from the cross and be transformed by it. Let this kind of love inspire our heart to follow a path. Each of us have our own path. Oftentimes the path that God has for us is as difficult and rocky as that of Jesus Christ. Therefore, be aware of the easy path, which might end up being a trap. I would like to share my path with you today. I was born and raised Roman Catholic until 2005, when several hundreds of us merged into the Episcopal Church. At my center is a strong belief in God's temper by my life's journey fleeing the war in Laos, listening to the French missionary priest preaching the gospel and celebrating the Eucharist with us high up in the mountain of Laos. As a monk man, I had to flee my homeland, Laos, and become a refugee in Thailand, and eventually came to the U.S. to start a young family and a new life. God was with me and my family every step on the way. I feel so fortunate to have escaped the horror of war as a young boy. The killing fields, the sound of the airplanes raging from the skies, the explosions of bombs, seeing dead and injured people along the journey when we escaped the communists to safety. I experienced sickness, starvation, racism, and humiliation by the Laotian and Thai people while living in Laos and in the refugee camps in Thailand. Although difficult, these experiences helped me to understand the hardship faced by many people born in or who come into this country. Along the way, I have learned to cope with new places, cultures, and languages. I have learned to forgive and to accept who I am and what reality is, as well as the challenges that I continue to encounter in my daily life. In 2003, when our priest, Father Bob Wallace, was killed in a car accident, there were power struggle and politics in the church, Roman Catholic Church, St. Vincent de Paul in Frogtown area. We were the lost sheep, without a place, without a home church, without a place for our beloved ones to be baptized and buried, without a place for us to gather as God's people to be nourished by God's word and Christ's body and blood, and to be strengthened for God's work in the world. Then I was asked to intervene to request the Roman Catholic Diocese of Minneapolis and St. Paul to provide assistance for resolution and reconciliation. However, I was treated so badly at the diocese office, and the larger group, now at Holy Apostles, had asked the diocese to worship at another Roman Catholic church, but was told to go fishing if we didn't want to go to church. Thank God, we have been found by God through the ministry of the Episcopal Church. And in 2005, about 280 baptized adults former Roman Catholics were received into the Episcopal Church by Bishop James Jelinek, making Holy Apostles the first and the only largest monk majority Episcopal congregation in the U.S. and in the entire Anglican Communion. Since becoming Episcopalians, Holy Apostles members and I found that the Episcopal Church is hospitable, supportive, and open to the monk and our cultures and traditions. The Episcopal traditions resonate with monk culture. Priests can get married. Women can be priests. And in the Episcopal Church, the woman's role has changed. And it's a great function in our spiritual and society these days. And this is true at Holy Apostles with the leadership of Ramlita Worsen Bernard, a female clergy. This is what has transformed me. I have the passion for evangelism and mission. The monk in Laos, Thailand, and Vietnam, even in this country, still function as a communal people. I would like to take the gospel, the Episcopal Church, and its tradition to the monk and Southeast Asians in this country where there is consultation of monk and Southeast Asians, such as Wisconsin, Colorado, Minnesota, and California. I feel called to facilitate new startup congregation in the Episcopal Church by building a network of support among priests, bishops, lay leaders, and local congregations. This network would partner with me in the mission, helping to identify and train leaders to take on the mission locally, and raising up spiritual leaders within the monk and Southeast Asian communities who might be called to holy orders. In terms of reaching out to the community, my strategy is to use kinship ties as we still function as communal people. And we already have contacts for this mission. We also have completed a translation, the translating of the Book of Common Prayer into Hmong. We have also been granted for a $100,000 grant from the National Church to do this work. But it's a matching grant. And part of my mission is to continue raising funds. This mission is based out of Holy Apostles. I am the missioner, but it is a team work out of Holy Apostles. Eventually, God willing, I also would like to expand this mission abroad to Thailand, Laos, and Vietnam. Among Episcopalians, members of Holy Apostles, and I believe that the good news we have encountered in coming home to the Episcopal Church when we were once lost will likewise be received as good news by many Hmong and Southeast Asian communities in the nation and around the world. As Christians, we cannot stand still. We must follow a path. We cannot just come to church to talk about God. We each have been given at least one gift from God. And we do not have to be ordained to serve God. We have to follow God's path, either going out into the world and spread the love of God, or serving God by whatever means we have, and however we are transformed, if we are to end up in the same place with Christ. The transfiguration put Jesus on a new path. Moses and Elijah were encouraging Jesus to follow the path that God had for him. After the transfiguration, Jesus became more resolute and determined than ever. Although Jesus knew what was going to take place, he entered Jerusalem with confidence. our path might be rocky and difficult, but we must not be afraid to follow it. Because Jesus is there with us every step on the way. Amen.